This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Alethea Kasman. Community colleges were once seen as a stepping stone on your way to a four-year degree. In recent years, they are more and more becoming their own educational destination for a degree or a certificate when you're on your way to a better-paying job. And now there's a plan in the works for every Michigan high school graduate to get 2 years of tuition-free community college.
Governor Whitmer is determined to make this push this year. She mentioned it in her State of the State address. Brandi Johnson is with the Michigan Community College Association. She says this plan would be great for students and community colleges, but also a lot of it is about branding community colleges as these desirable institutions.
So the governor in her State of the State address and then later in her executive budget recommendation proposed the community college guarantee. The truth is this tuition guarantee is really more than anything else a messaging play for students and families. Its purpose is to tell students very clearly and very simply, if you choose to pursue your first 2 years of college at a community or tribal college, you will not have a tuition bill, period, end, stop. And that is universal. So all students will qualify. It's not a guessing game of, you know, what will my student aid index from that pops out of the FAFSA calculation be, or, you know, if it's a flat dollar amount, that amount will go so far at one college, but not another college. Currently, the Michigan Achievement Scholarship provides up to $2,750 for students attending community college, but that doesn't have that really powerful messaging that we need to create a college-going culture. The truth is that $2,750, when combined with the federal Pell Grant and other aid, in a lot of cases, is the same thing. It is a tuition-free path, but that's really hard to communicate to students and families. By being able to say, look, Michigan is invested in you. You do your FAFSA, you graduate high school, you enroll in college full-time, we got your back.
Right. So one of the things Brandi told us is, you know, that in terms of state budget dollars, this doesn't cost very much. It's $5 to $7 million more than what the state is already spending on community college scholarships. So it's the gap isn't that big for to get everyone a free 2 year tuition to community college. The Whitmer administration has said once fully implemented, this could affect 18,000 students. So it could be impactful. And it's also something with bipartisan appeal. Tennessee has implemented something like this, and it's been very successful there.
Now, some of this is coming from the goal of the Whitmer administration to have 60% of residents with a degree or credential by 2030. Currently, the state is sitting a little above 50%.
Yeah, so the legislature has focused a lot in the past on sort of getting adults back to school. There's programs helping 21 and 25-year-olds getting back to community college. So that has really upped that, you know, 60 by 30 goal. Now we're starting to focus a little bit more on these students who are graduating high school and what they're going to do next.
There are also discussions on making the transfer process between community colleges and universities easier and tackling housing issues for students at community colleges as they don't have the same dorm system as a university.
Yeah, so this is all things that the legislature is chewing on as it is continuing its budget season. We haven't seen a lot of movement yet. They're currently on spring break. They'll be back in the next couple of weeks and we'll start to see initial movement, but we won't see anything big until likely mid to late June.
We're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we're going to talk all about community colleges with Brandi Johnson. You won't want to miss it. Welcome back to Mishmash. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Alethea Kasman. Today, we're joined by President of the Michigan Community College Association, Brandi Johnson. Brandi, thank you for joining us on Mishmash today.
Thanks for having me. I listen every week.
So we're going to talk all things community colleges. You know, first, I just kind of wanted to hear a little bit about sort of the history of community colleges in the state and how you think, you know, they've evolved over, you know, their existence.
That's a great question. So I have the privilege of representing 31 colleges in literally every corner of the state. It includes the 28 public community colleges, as well as 3 tribal colleges. So community colleges, or as they were previously known as junior colleges, started popping up in the state as early as the 1920s. They were really created as a local place that a student could go to get started on their college education before they transferred to an existing university like the University of Michigan. By the 1960s, all 28 public community colleges had been chartered, and their mission started to really evolve into playing more of a direct role in applied workforce development. Today, community colleges play a whole host of roles. For traditional age students, students coming right out of high school, they often choose to enroll at a community college first to save some money, maybe to live at home before they transfer to a 4-year institution with a bachelor's degree as their ultimate goal. Many people do attend community college to get applied certificates and associate degrees, particularly in fields like health science, information technology, advanced manufacturing, and the skilled trades. But now more than ever, community colleges are also playing a huge role for high school students by providing dual enrollment opportunities for students even before they graduate high school to have an opportunity to experience college, to earn college credits on their transcripts. And then lastly, community colleges just provide a ton of community services. We like to say community is our middle name. And so whether that's adult enrichment opportunities for retirees or just being a place where people can convene and gather within communities, we really, in so many of our local areas where we have colleges, it really serves as an anchor institution for community.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the history of community colleges' role. Historically, we've seen community colleges get more attention when the economy isn't doing well. On paper, the economy is currently doing well, but there are more pushes in recent years to fund community college programming. So why is that? Why that shift?
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. Typically, we see community college enrollment patterns that are counter-cyclical to the economy. So when the economy is really good, fewer people go to community college because they're out there working and making good paychecks. When the economy is not so good, we see huge influxes of students into our campuses. This was most notable during the Great Recession, where we had more students than ever in the year 2009, 2010, 2011, because people that had been laid off were going back to community college to get upskilled. We saw a little bit of a difference during the pandemic. We saw this kind of short blip in our economy, but we did not see huge enrollments during the pandemic. There was obviously a quick recovery, and we see, you know, wages are at a premium for low skill entry level jobs. I drive by fast food restaurants all the time that say you can work here for $19 an hour with very little education. But you're exactly right that employers, I think, have gotten more sophisticated about really identifying their talent needs what they need to grow as a company and as an employer. And more than ever, employers are saying very loudly and very clearly that a high school diploma just simply isn't enough to compete in the types of jobs that they are looking to fill. This governor and the legislature in particular over the last 5 or 6 years or so have really doubled down on efforts to help boost enrollments at community colleges to have this dual function of meeting the employer demand of skilled workers to fill those jobs, while also driving down the cost of college to the consumer, the student and the family, so that they don't have to take on such huge debt loads.
So given, you know, all of those efforts, are we seeing enrollment increase at community colleges?
Yeah, I'm really happy to report that this last fall, the fall of 23, we saw an increase of enrollment at 3.7%, which was actually higher than the national average. Nationally, we saw about a 2.6% increase in enrollment in the 2-year community college sector. We think that has a lot to do with programs like Michigan Reconnect that provides a tuition-free pathway for adults that want to pursue a certificate or a degree. So while we've seen enrollments increase, most of that has to do actually not with what we think of as a traditional high school senior that just graduated. We're not seeing increases amongst 18-year-olds. We're seeing increases in those working-aged adults and those under 18, that dual enrollment population that I mentioned.
Let's talk about Governor Whitmer's big initiative this year, free community college for Michigan high school graduates. Why is that important to start with?
Yeah, so the governor in her State of the State address and then later in her executive budget recommendation proposed the Community College Guarantee, which was an expansion of an existing scholarship program called the Michigan Achievement Scholarship. This was a sort of a twist on a proposal that came out of the Grow Michigan Together Council and the Higher Education Subcommittee, which called for making the first 2 years of college tuition free. And so we were excited to see this proposal in the State of the State and in the executive budget recommendation. The truth is, this tuition guarantee is really more than anything else a messaging play for students and families. Its purpose is to tell students very clearly and very simply, if you choose to pursue your first 2 years of college at a community or tribal college, you will not have a tuition bill, period. And stuck. that is universal. So all students will qualify. It's not a guessing game of, you know, what will my student aid index from that pops out of the FAFSA calculation be, or, you know, if it's a flat dollar amount, that amount will go so far at one college, but not another college. Currently, the Michigan Achievement Scholarship provides up to $2,750 for students attending community college, but that doesn't have that really powerful messaging that we need to create a college-going culture. The truth is that $2,750, when combined with the federal Pell Grant and other aid, in a lot of cases, is the same thing. It is a tuition-free path, but that's really hard to communicate to students and families. By being able to say, look, Michigan is invested in you. You do your FAFSA, you graduate high school, you enroll in college full-time, we got your back. And I think that's the real powerful play of the Community College Guarantee.
So does that mean, you know, that the overall cost of funding this kind of new message, is it low? What's the cost there?
Yeah, it really is relatively quite low. In conversations with the budget office, we think that this proposal will cost maybe between $5 and $7 million above and beyond the current levels that were already going to be effect with the Michigan Achievement Scholarship. So by just adding a little bit of in terms of cost, you can really have a much more powerful message about the importance of pursuing post-secondary education to really help boost enrollments, which have been really declining ever since the pandemic amongst that traditional age student population.
The governor is also recommending an extra $1,000 for low-income community college students for costs outside of tuition, things like books. Can you talk about that and the tweaks that you're asking for?
That's absolutely right. And it's one of MCCA's legislative priorities. Our priority is to ensure that our neediest students have support for basic needs and non-tuition costs of attendance, including food, housing, transportation, technology, and textbooks. And so I think this is a real game changer in terms of financial aid design. We haven't seen this type of proposal before in the various state financial aid programs that that Michigan has proposed. The truth is that for our neediest students, students that are really, you know, living in poverty or coming from families that live in poverty, having tuition free doesn't get you very far if you don't have enough money to pay for the gas in your car to get to college, for the textbooks, for a computer, for internet access, et cetera. And so we think this is a really powerful first step and a really smart design of a financial aid program to allow extra support, again, targeted at more needy students, to cover these real direct costs of education that are just not baked into that tuition rate.
Lawmakers are considering this right now as they debate the budget. We haven't seen any movement on any of the budget items yet, but what have your conversations been like with lawmakers? Do you think that they're receptive to this idea? And, you know, are you confident, you know, that this can get through?
Yeah, they have been super receptive to the idea, especially as we talk more about the relatively low cost. In terms of a bang for your buck, in getting a really big policy piece done, something that you can, that all legislators on both sides of the aisle can talk about when they're campaigning this summer and in this fall to say, hey, this is something really positive and productive that the legislature did work together with the governor to make sure that students that want to go to community college don't have a tuition bill. And that really puts, it really is a kitchen table issue. It puts money back in the pockets of, you know, middle-class families. And that's real. For a relatively very, very small price tag to have this type of big, bold policy win coming out of the legislature, I feel like they can't afford not to support this type of proposal. So our conversations have been good. We want to make sure that that we are partnering closely with universities as well, particularly as it relates to transfer. 40% of students from the class of 2023 went nowhere. Did not enroll in college at all. Some have argued that this proposal would help encourage students to, you know, who had been planning to go to a university, like at a Central or a Western or an Eastern, any of those directional universities, to instead go to a community college. I actually don't think that's true because of the real power of the Michigan Achievement Scholarship. So for students that are attending public universities, most of them would get up to $5,500 to attend a university, which is a huge, powerful enrollment driver. And we want to encourage that. This proposal is really about that 40% of high school students that aren't going anywhere, getting them somewhere. And then once they're in community college, We are really excited to work closely with our four-year partners to widen the pipeline of potential transfer students that can help, once they complete an associate degree, continue their education through a junior and senior level status at a university. So like the price is right for this program. It's relatively minimal, which I think will also really help its legislative chances.
So how confident are you that this is going to get across the finish line soon?
I am optimistic. I am optimistically hopeful. We have been certainly working with lawmakers and encouraging our presidents to do the same. There's also some advocacy organizations like the Michigan College Access Network and the Institute for College Access and Success, or TCAS, who are also really supporting this proposal from a student lens and from an equity lens. So I'm really quite hopeful. As legislators are back in their districts for the most part these next couple of weeks, they should be hearing from students and from college leaders, encouraging them to take this proposal really, really seriously. And I'll say we have some real champions for college access and success in the legislature. The two I'll name in particular are Representative Sam Steckloff, who chairs the Higher Education and Community College Appropriations Subcommittee in the House. She herself has a deep background and a deep understanding of financial aid. She has worked in student affairs and student services at Wayne State University, where she worked directly on issues related to college affordability. So her deep appreciation, I think, for this type of work lends itself to a positive and productive House recommendation. And on the Senate side, I would be remiss if I didn't shout out Senator Sarah Anthony, who was, before she was in the legislature, she was the deputy director of the Michigan College Access Network, where she was a colleague of mine, and has really spent a lot of her career before politics focused on college access, affordability, and success for low-income students, first-generation college-going students, and students of color. So she also is an expert in her own right and a big champion of student financial aid policy.
And I know both of those lawmakers were big supporters of Michigan Reconnect, which you touched on a little bit before. Right now, that program allows folks who are 21 and older to go back to community college. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Do you think that program, has been a success?
Yeah, absolutely. So Michigan Reconnect, in my mind, was the most significant bipartisan policy that was passed in the governor's first term. It was sponsored, it passed in 2020 and began implemented in 2021 when Republicans controlled the legislature. The bills were actually sponsored by former Senator Ken Horn and former Representative Ben Frederick, who were Republicans that really stood shoulder to shoulder with the governor to make this proposal possible. The proposal as written, the sort of permanent Reconnect policy, is to allow for students 25 and older to have a tuition-free pathway to an associate degree. It's a last dollar scholarship, but a real helpful tool to drive down the cost of college for individuals that really want to take meaningful steps toward upward economic mobility. With the influx of significant federal dollars, particularly that we saw in the budget last year, the state set aside a big chunk of change to temporarily lower the age down to 21, again, temporarily. So students have really until the end of this year to apply for Michigan Reconnect if they are between the ages of 21 and 24 and actually start enrolling in classes this fall, upcoming fall semester. After that point, no students that are 21 to 24 would be able to enroll. We do think it's been successful, and we do think that students, or that I should say, we do think that the legislature should really consider making that 21 age expansion permanent.
You have talked about housing as an issue for community college students as well. What are you seeing there? And is there an ask in front of the legislature to tackle this issue head on?
Yeah, that's a great question. We hear about housing, Michigan's housing crisis kind of constantly in Lansing, but we don't talk enough about student housing. And this is particularly a problem in more rural communities and in places like Traverse City and Petoskey that have a really hard time providing a supply of affordable housing for low-income people. Community college students are really, by definition, low-income people. They are attempting to go to community college in order to earn the credentials that they need to actually have a middle-class lifestyle with a great paycheck. And so there's about 9 or 10 of our colleges that have expressed a real need to develop student housing. Most of them have student housing already. This would be an expansion. If you think about, if you sort of picture Alpena Community College or Montcalm Community College, which is kind of in the middle of nowhere, but provides a real key function for the rural economy. West Shore Community College, which is near Ludington. These are places that don't have an apartment complex on the corner where a student could rent some housing while they're going to school. So a coalition of our colleges have an ask in front of the legislature to provide matching grants to develop student housing. Student housing is not an eligible project for the traditional capital outlay process where the state bonds for money to develop new buildings or infrastructure. Capital outlay cannot be used for student housing. And so that is the ask. And it's not all of our colleges. Frankly, colleges in more urban and suburban areas, there is a supply of housing available to low-income students. It's pretty much targeted toward where we're seeing the real demand for programs is in rural colleges. And I'll give just one example. Alpena Community College has one of the state's premier line worker programs. So these are for energy workers that work on electrical lines and poles. It is an extremely high demand job that is high wage and high growth. Most of the jobs are available in Southeast Michigan. And so companies like DTE and consumers encourage potential workers to go up to Alpena to do this very intense 18-month program. And then every single one of them that graduates is hired immediately with really, really, really good wages. Alpena Community College tomorrow could double the size of its line worker program if they had a place to sleep. These individuals don't have places to rent in Alpena Community College, and it limits the capacity of the program. It's a real tangible workforce development dilemma that could be solved.
Well, Brandy, I think that's all we've got for you today. Thank you so much for being on Mishmash.
Really appreciate the invite, and I hope you all have a great rest of your day.
Thanks again to our guest, Brandy Johnson from the Michigan Community College Association. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with the Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shayna Roth, and Gongwer's Zach Gorchow and Alethea Kasbin. There's additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr. Mixing, mastering, and music is by Sam Bobian. Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. And our news director is Jerome Vaughn. And our podcast manager is David Lyons. As always, if you like this show and you want to support us, you can do so by leaving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Also, make sure that you tell your friends about Mishmash. Maybe send them a link. Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like this show, you can support WDET by going to WDET.org/give and becoming a member of WDET at WDET.org. We'll talk to you next week.